I'll be reading from Acts 2. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for you the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, far from all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from the corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer.
Good morning. Welcome to all of you, especially those who are visiting. There's a great number of visitors with us today, and we're glad that you're here. I want to invite you to be back with us at any opportunity that you have to be with us. Lots of things going on. It's been a busy time and busy days that are ahead. Lots of good things. We'll take a moment to talk about those, make some announcements, and need you to help us with some things, with some information and some activity. First of those is several in our community and maybe of us have had damage from the storms, limbs down and those type of things. And so if you need some assistance cleaning up around your place, or you have a neighbor or a family member that needs some assistance, would you let Martin Likens know? Martin, stand up for us so everybody know who Martin is. I think most of you know. But after church, let Martin know. And we've got some young men who are willing and able to come with some chainsaws and trucks and help clean up. So, like I say, if you have assistance or have someone that does, and if you run across that today or this week, let Martin know, or you feel free to call me or let me know, and I'll get that to Martin, and we'll be glad to organize the time for some of our folks to go help to do that.
Yeah, but does not include
Petro. Dan, that's not the discussion you and I had, was it? It's the red-headed buckaroos, isn't it, guys? It just... Tonight, the Christian School Chorus will be with us and their family, so we expect a good crowd tonight. It will be their first performance from the year, and so we want to invite all of you to be back tonight to hear their performance after our devotional time together at 6, and then they will perform. And invite your friends and neighbors to come and be with us tonight, and we will be providing a meal for the chorus and their families and for all of us who are here after their performance tonight. So I believe chicken is being provided by the church. And so bring sides and desserts and drinks and come and join us tonight for that activity. And there should be a good group and want you to come back. And that will begin tonight at 6. Next Sunday morning, March the 8th, when the time changes, spring forward. Now don't be groaning, you're going to lose an hour's sleep, but it'll be nice in the evening, so we can stand it. But the time changes, so remember to set your clock forward. And then we're starting a new adult Sunday school class next Sunday morning. We'll meet here in the auditorium at 9:15. It's a video series, and they're about 12 to 15 minutes. And then a time of discussion. Randy Harris will be doing the videos, and it will be on the Sermon on the Mount. So that starts next Sunday. I want to invite all of you to come and bring your family because we'll have classes for all ages. But the class will begin at 9:15 here in the auditorium. And for the younger folks, for all of us, we'll continue to sing in here at 9 or a little after, and then we'll break for classes. But I know several of you came today thinking it started today, but it starts next week, and that'll be on the Sermon on the Mount. And so there'll be a video series and then a discussion. So time is changing, spring is coming, so we'll make a spring resolution. Let's be together for Bible study and discussion next Sunday. And you come and bring your family and your children with you, and that'll be a great time. But that begins next week at 9:15. I want to talk today about repentance. We'll talk about repentance today. We all want good health and great physiques. with no exercise and eating whatever we want. We want to battle diabetes without controlling our sugar. I don't know what the drug is now, but you know the little diagram is, it does something so your body doesn't absorb all the sugar, so you can keep eating all of that sugar. We want secure retirements without saving and planning. And the reason I say that, because that's the products that are promoted to us every day. And sometimes we want salvation without repentance. And I want to talk about that today. Because very often the concept is, yes, I want redemption. Yes, I want cleansing. Yes, I want eternal life. But I don't want holiness and godliness. Jesus' message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What Houston read for us is from Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit had descended on the apostles in Jerusalem, and they had gone out in the morning and begun to preach. And the crowd that was gathered for Pentecost were from all over the area, spoke many different languages. The Jews had come in from all over. And they heard Peter preach. And they realized that just less than 2 months before, Jesus had been put to death. And Peter says, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God made both Lord and Christ." And then they realized, because many of them would have lived in Jerusalem, many of them would have been in Jerusalem for Passover and would have come back for Pentecost, would have been in the crowd that yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." They would have been in the city when Jesus would have been hanging on the cross. They would have been there when the skies went dark, and they realized that this man, Jesus, whom they had at least been aware of, if not active in his crucifixion, was the Messiah. And so their question to Peter was, "Now what do we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Repentance and baptism. But Peter called them to repentance. What does that mean? What does it mean to repent? Well, the term literally means to change one's direction, to change one's way. And so what Jesus was calling them to, what Peter was calling them to, what the Lord is calling us to, is to turn from sin. In the New Testament, that's usually what repentance always means, is a turning from sin. What Jesus is calling us to is not to a sacrifice that covers sin and inoculates us from its continued price, to inoculate us from the consequences of sin, although there is forgiveness at the cross, but Jesus calls us not to continue in it, but to appreciate the sacrifice and to turn from it. There were those in the first century, in the time of Paul, who had accepted the argument, maybe had come up with the argument that God's grace is wonderful, and it is. We're thankful for the grace of God. And so they had reasoned, they had come up with the argument that if we continue in sin, we can talk about how God is gracious to cover our sins. And Paul says, "We're not going to continue in sin that grace may abound," is the terms he uses. We're not going to continue in sin, so we say, "Look how great God's grace is," even though God's grace is sufficient to forgive sin. In fact, Paul would say of himself, "I am the chiefest of sinners." He wasn't just saying that as a term. Paul knew there were lots of folks who had sinned in great ways, but Paul knew he had persecuted the church itself. Paul had gone into the homes or to the synagogues where Christians were and drug them out and imprisoned them, and had even been a part of their executions. And Paul knew that God's grace was sufficient for him. John will record for us that God's love is so great that Christ came and died for the sins of the whole world. That grace is sufficient to forgive sins on a large scale. But Jesus did not come that we might continue in sin, but God came, or Jesus came, that we might have forgiveness of sin and that we might turn and live lives of holiness. It's not so that we can continue in sin and not suffer its consequences. It's that we can be forgiven of our sins and have an opportunity to be born again and walk in a new way in paths of righteousness. God calls us to live not of the world, but of the kingdom. While we live in the world, not to live of the world, to change our ways. And repentance is not only a coming out of sin and turning for our sin, but it is turning back toward God. It's not just leaving one sinful activity for some different direction to which we don't know where we're going, but it is a call to come back to God, to be reconciled back to God, that previously in our lives or at times in our lives we are caught in sinfulness. And the struggles that each one of us has is different. It's different. What is a great temptation to one of us might not be a temptation at all to the next one. But all of us have a struggle. Satan knows our weaknesses and he exploits them. And so Jesus came that we might be forgiven of that and have the opportunity to turn from that and come back to God and live lives of righteousness. Now, let's make sure you understand when we talk about turning back to God and living lives of righteousness, are we able to live perfectly, even as Christians? No. No. All of us continue to struggle. All of us fall short of being all that God wants us to be. But our hearts and our minds and our attitudes and our lives should be striving to be what God has called us to be. That we're striving each day to draw closer to God. In fact, the scripture will say, if we'll draw near to God, Satan will flee from us, right? That it is this constant desire to be more like God and to draw closer to Him. Away from Satan and from worldly wisdom and the temptations that pull us away from God and drawing closer to God. Not saying, well, I'm forgiven so I'll live any way I want to. Because to say that really doesn't appreciate the sacrifice that was required for our forgiveness. For you and I to be forgiven, it wasn't that God said, well, if you'll just act better, I'll forgive you. And sometimes we think that, don't we? If you'll just act better, I'll forgive you. In our legal system, you can get a sentence that if you behave for a certain period of time, then what's happened in the past will be wiped away. But it's not that easy with God. Because for you and for me to be forgiven, God sent His Son who suffered and died and gave His life that we might be forgiven. And so forgiveness of sins is not cheap. And it does not come lightly, but it was given for us freely so that we might be forgiven. But the Lord calls us to appreciate the cost and not to continue in sin, but to turn from it and draw back to God. Jesus tells a parable. It's an interesting one. It's the parable about a man who built a vineyard. Now let's get the picture. When he built a vineyard, he would have walled in an area and would have planted the grapevines. And it would have been a self-contained area. There would have been an area for the grapevines to grow and to be harvested, and there would have been a wine press where they would have been pressed, and the juice could have been gathered. So everything was there, you know, for a complete vineyard. And he rents it out. And so annually, the process would be that when the grapes are harvested and the harvest is complete, that a percentage, a portion of that would be paid to the landlord as rent on the vineyard. And so it's rented, and the landowner sends servants, managers, individuals who work for him to go and collect the rent. And they don't pay the rent. They beat them, send them away. So he says, I'll send my son. Surely they'll respect my son and we'll get this business transaction settled. But what do the folks who are renting the vineyard think when they see his son? Do you remember the parable? They said, well, if we kill his son, we'll take his inheritance. So instead of respecting his son, they killed him. The landowner, as we would say, didn't take that lying down. The death of his son, but who would? Right? We can understand that. We can grasp. You think I was upset you didn't pay the rent? I'm going to cloud up and rain all over you, to use a local saying. The reason I say that, we can grasp that. That here he sent them, and now I'm through with you. I sent my son, and you didn't pay him. Now I'm coming, and I'm going to destroy you, and I'm going to rent this vineyard to someone else. I'm not just going to kick you out. You're going to pay for what you've done. Because not only have you not done what I asked you to do, you have killed my son. Well, when we continue to live in an ungodly way, that's really what we're saying to God, isn't it? That you sent your son, but I don't value that. I'm going to continue in sin, not realizing at what great cost to heaven my forgiveness has come. And so the scripture, Jesus himself and those who followed, have called us to repentance, realizing the great cost of sin and that we don't continue in it, but God has called us to live differently, to live new lives of godliness, to follow in God's path. New Testament writers will give us two analogies of those who don't understand repentance, who don't understand leaving sin and moving toward God. And one of them is a hog. We're probably not as familiar with hogs as we used to be in our community. A few of you have raised them. A few folks are raising them now. What we are most familiar with is eating them. In fact, yesterday in the breakfast, we ate some. And Jim Adcock says there's only one good place for a hog. He said, that's on the breakfast table. He doesn't want to raise anymore. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago when there were a few hogs kind of all over, and you could smell them driving by at times. But the New Testament writer says, for someone who knows the truth and then doesn't continue in godliness is like a hog who is cleaned and then returns to wallow in the mire. And then one that's more graphic, it's like a dog who returns to his vomit. It's not a pretty picture, but it's not meant to be. When we have the opportunity to know the forgiveness of sins and the grace and love of God, to return back to sinfulness, to turn, as it were, our back on God, instead of repenting from sin and turning and moving toward God, but to turn back toward sinfulness is unpleasant and vile because we've had an opportunity to know the difference. Jesus came that we might have forgiveness. He came that we might have life and that we might have it in abundance. But he calls us not to a life that says you're forgiven and you're inoculated from sin and its consequences so you can continue to live any way that you want to, because no longer will it bother you. It's like chicken pox. You've already had it. You're immune. But Jesus called us to forgiveness. But he's called us to righteousness. To leave sin and worldliness and to draw near to God and to walk in his path. God's people are to follow him. Everybody, the song says, wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Everybody wants forgiveness, but not always do we want repentance. We want to be cleansed. We want to be free from the consequences, but we're not always ready to turn back to God. It's important for us to realize as we close that every problem that you and I have is the result of sin. Now, it may not be our sin, but every problem that you and I have is a result of sin. Every ailment, every sickness, the death of every loved one, every argument, every struggle, every down tree, every thorn, every bad boss, every unreasonable customer, every problem you and I have is the result of sin. That's biblical. That's biblical. When Adam and Eve lived in the garden, none of those problems existed. But when sin came, so did death and the curse. And for us to continue in sin, not realizing the damage that it causes and its consequences, is just not a good thing. It really shows a lack of understanding. So God has said, I bring you forgiveness, and I'm building a place for you where the curse is lifted and those problems no longer exist. But don't fellowship with darkness and sin. Repent. Turn. I'll leave you with the words of John in the letters of John. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. We walk in the light. The blood of Jesus brings cleansing. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.